This Old Thing is brought to you by Lampoo, a luxury consignment store that empowers its customers to shop more responsibly by making buying and selling pre-loved luxury easier than ever. Lampoo manages the entire process for sellers, from free collection, taking photos, listing online, storage and shipment to buyers. Their luxury experts will give you their suggested price, but then you can change it to whatever you want. Buyers can have complete peace of mind with authenticity guaranteed and find some amazing pieces from vintage collections to recent limited edition sellouts with up to 80% off the original retail price. Plus, their luxury service in-store and edits online gives you that luxury experience. Hi everyone, thanks so much for listening to my podcast, This Old Thing. I am a lifelong thrifter and charity shopper, and I have always loved clothes and style. And now I love secondhand clothes and stuff even more, as it is really the only truly sustainable way to shop. In each episode, I will be asking my guests about their style, influences, and their memories around clothes. I guess the fabric of their lives, really. I am really, really delighted to introduce my guest today. I've been an admirer for a long time, and it is Angela Rayner, who is the deputy leader of the Labour Party since 2020. Angela was born and raised in Stockport, and she left school at 16 while you were pregnant. And she traded social care at Stockport College and worked for the local council as a care worker, and then became a trade union representative, during which time you joined the Labour Party.
I did.
And so, actually, I just want to start in. I mean, there's loads of questions I'd love to ask you about lots of things, but I'm going to just stay on track and just jump in with the first question, which is that you seem to really love clothes and style. And I just wanted to know a bit about that and your early influences. And tell me, do you love clothes and style?
I do love clothes, yeah, and I like to be different.
Yes.
So I have a style that I hope is different. I don't like to follow the crowd. I like to be a bit loud. I think I've got a bit louder in my colours as I've got older, because I don't know, we all go to black, don't we? Because we think black's a great colour that makes you look slim. So we end up like all wearing black. And I was told never wear black tights with a black skirt, because that's like a no-no, because it just like makes you square at the bottom. I used to do that all the time. I used to, and I've probably got the same on today actually, but I've got light tights on because I'm ginger, right? So I'm like, you know that film Cocoon?
Yes.
I look like that. My legs are so white that literally I have to wear sunglasses for them. So I can never do bare legs. They have to have something on them otherwise. And if I'm wearing a skirt that's knee length or above, yeah. If I don't wear dark coloured tights, it looks like I'm giving off too much leg because I've got long legs.
That's so funny. That's such a good tip, actually. I've never heard that don't do a black skirt with black tights, but it totally makes sense.
Yeah, so it makes you triangular. Like rectangle at the bottom. Yeah, makes you look rectangle at the bottom. So I've been told never to do that.
That's such a good tip. I love a new tip like that. I also, you're so right about wearing black. I mean, I wear loads of black now because it just... it's that thing, it just makes me feel like it's okay somehow. But I love that you're wearing colour. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, black's your comfort blanket, but you've got to get out of your comfort blanket.
Yes.
And I think, you know, a lot of us aren't confident to wear colour, like block colours or patterns. We feel a bit like, it's a bit more dangerous. Is it going to look good? Is it not? So
yes.
I think we've just got to be a bit more confident about wearing bright colours.
I think you're totally right. And I love the fact that you mix your wardrobe with vintage pieces. There was a picture of I saw you in a black, I think it was black, a kind of fake fur kind of, it looked like a kind of 70s, 80s coat. And it was clearly vintage.
Yes.
And I loved it. But tell me about that. Do you buy a lot of secondhand stuff?
I so do. I love secondhand shops. I used to, when I was a young mum, as I say, I was a mum at 16, so I didn't have much money, and I used to walk about 6 miles to the posh area of town to their secondhand shops and get loads of good stuff from their shops. So I used to travel. So there's another tip. Travel to the posh areas and go in their charity shops.
You can get,
like, I've got a real leather belt for a fiver for a real leather belt, like that you can wear with anything that looks great. So it's just tips like that. I love secondhand stuff. I go on eBay as well. I get a lot of my stuff off eBay and things like that. Because I'm a size 12. I'm in that category of tall and 12. So people generally tend to go up and down in that. So I could get a lot of bargains that way. And I wear some stuff from Betty Page, which is an American firm. I like 50s and 60s vibe. So I mix and match stuff a lot. But I do get a lot of second. Like, I will not pay a ridiculous price for clothes and shoes because I just think it's too much, you know. So,
and you can my favorite pair of
Boutons I got on eBay, and I thought it was expensive paying £120 for them. But they pre-worn, so whoever worn them made them great and comfy for me.
Yes.
And I got a pair of Boutons for like £120. And that's expensive, but I would never pay like £500 for a pair. No way.
Do you know what a friend of mine once said to me? This really stylish woman called Anita Pallenberg, who was kind of like in a 60s kind of icon of style. And she said to me, if I ever spend more than £100 on something, you know it's time to put me in the loony bin. And I was like, I was always like, whenever I get tempted, I kind of go, God, babe, come on, be a bit cooler. Like, remember that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That attitude. My gosh, you know, when you said you used to go to like the posh bit of town to go to the charity shop, when you had a child at 16, and I don't want to deviate, like, I don't want to sidetrack, but that's so young.
It was.
How did that feel, have being a mum at 16? You must have been very grown up or something. I mean, I was. You are.
I mean, I was quite feral as a kid because my mum had bipolar and was depressed and stuff. So I used to look after my mum. So I was a lot older than my years. So I was going out clubbing at 14. You know, I was mixing with people a lot older than me. Being a girl, you can get in the nightclubs a lot earlier because I was tall. I've always been quite striking, got big ginger hair. I'm always like, hello, here I am. So I was able to get into nightclubs at the age of 14. So I was like in the 90s. I was in Manchester in the 90s, Madchester.
Wow.
So
well, Madchester.
I had like a great time.
After you'd had your baby, did you go out again or did life just completely change?
Life changed when I had Ryan. I kind of took a step back from that and it kind of grounded me, and it was a really good experience for me. I'm not advocating it for everyone, but it gave me the opportunity to think about not myself but somebody else. So then I became very responsible because I wanted to prove that I could be a good mum. So I didn't really go out for a couple of years, and then my 18th birthday I was like, right, I'm going out. And then I was back out because I went really fat, by the way, when I got pregnant. I was not one of those, like, when my granddaughter was born, my daughter-in-law walked out the maternity ward in a pair of size 6 skinny jeans. They thought it was my child, you know. When I had my children, I literally put on like 6-7 stone every time I had a child. So I went really big. So I was very self-conscious as a 16, 17-year-old who had put on quite a bit of weight as well about going out, because before that I was so small. I was like a size 10 and a 34B, and my boobs went to like a double D, and I was like size 16, 18. So it was quite a big shock to my system as a young person, and how to dress when you're a bit older. You know, when you're a bit bigger, dressing as a bigger size to a smaller size, it's a bit of a challenge, especially if you want to go out, you know, out on the night out. I always found that I was quite self-conscious of my weight.
Completely. Also, it's different if you get pregnant in your late 20s and you put on the weight because you're kind of like, yeah, that's what happens, you know, you're getting. But if you're 16 17, that's tough, you know, your body changing that much overnight in a way. It's quite that's full on.
I went from a child's body, a teenager's body, to like a big womanly body within 9 months. It was quite a shock. I was like, I've got boobs.
Yeah, but when you're 16.
I need a bra.
Yeah. And also, you've just done all that from being an adolescent. You know, to do it again so quickly is kind of nuts. It's quite.
Like, I literally had a bra before because I just thought it'd be cool to have a bra, and I wanted a really nice, pretty one. I went from pretty bras to ones that needed scaffolding to hold my back and hold everything in. So that was quite a shock for me.
That is full on. And tell me, Angela, is there something you would never wear?
What I would never wear? I don't think there is. is, actually. No, I'm quite cool with stuff, you know. There were things when I was younger that, like, I used to stay away from red because I thought ginger and red, you can't do it. But actually, some tones of red I can wear and they look good. But no, I mean, I had Bermuda shorts. Do you remember when we all had Bermuda shorts and the Bermuda? I had the top with it. Do you remember you had the Bermuda shorts and the top?
That might have just been Manchester. Okay, that might have just been Manchester. No, I don't know. But no, I do remember.
I mean, I can't say that there's nothing I wouldn't wear when I've gone there.
No, you can't.
Shell suits. I had a shell suit. It was the best thing I thought I'd ever worn in my life.
Amazing.
A shell suit.
That is so funny. You know, they're like really trendy again with the kids. Like, they're super trendy.
I know, I've seen them out with them on so now, and I'm thinking, that must have been how I felt when I wore it. And do you know what the thing is, though, for me? Clothes is about how it makes you feel.
Absolutely.
So if you feel like you're top of the world in that jacket or that coat or
then
whatever,
you are.
I don't care what everyone else thinks. If I feel like I'm winning, I'm wearing it.
Totally. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. And tell me, what would your favourite item of clothing be ever? Like, if there was a fire, or, you know, I hope there's not, but the one thing you'd save, do you think, that you just love?
Oh, it's got to be my little black dress.
Yeah.
Because I could just literally wear it everywhere and anywhere. I can put a necklace on and it dress it up. You could dress it down. My little black dress is just perfect. I can literally go on holiday for a week with a little black dress and I'd be all right because I know I can make it into 18 outfits.
Totally. It's just such a great classic, isn't it? It's funny, actually, because a really good friend of mine is a redhead like you. And I swear, I don't know if you believe this, but she believes this, that redheads are basically magical creatures and you have energy and powers that us just don't have. I think it might be true. Do you think that's true?
I just think, I used to say that we're blondes that have lots of fun. Because we just get away with it. Because redheads have been underestimated all our lives.
I love a redhead.
So I think we don't have all of the preconceived ideas about what we should be. Everyone, we go under the radar. We're like little ninja gingers. Do you know what I mean? We just get out there and enjoy life.
Yeah, totally. I know. I think you've all got this force. It's kind of... feel it. Tell me, is there
we know each other as well, you know, in the street, if we don't even if we don't know each other, there's a thing, you know, ginger people, you just sort of like give each other a knowingly nod. Higher, yeah, like even though like we don't even know each other, like I'm fellow ginger, you know.
Yeah, you're a tribe. Totally. And tell me, actually, is there something from your childhood that you remember someone wearing? I guess it's kind of poignant, maybe your mother or your father, or it could be anyone, but just something that you've remembered over the years in particular.
Yeah, my nana, like, she was like everything to me. She wore a rah-rah skirt to like a British Legion once, and I thought that is just like super cool. That's like the British Legion, and it was like one of these rainbow coloured like skirts that was like, it was like a hot pant, so then the skirt was like trestle, so you could and my nana must have been like 50 odd then, like,
wow,
and she just didn't care. She was just like, she went to British Legion dance like that. I was like, yeah,
she sounds amazing.
I was like, you go for it, Nan.
I think you might have inherited a few things from your nan.
Definitely. Maybe. Well, it just taught me that it's about how you feel.
Yeah.
That's it. It's like clothing should be an expression of how you feel, not about what you conform to. So you'll see me in the Houses of Parliament. I wear my Doc Martens and everything at the dispatch box. And well, I get all sorts of trouble whatever I wear at the dispatch box. Someone's got an issue with it. But I wear my creepers as well, because obviously creepers are designed to be like, you know, the teddy boys and all that. So I wear my creepers just to show that I'm a bit rebellious.
Yes. I'm wearing them. This is who I am. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, and they've got leopard print at the front of them. I've got leopard print creepers.
And why wouldn't you? Why shouldn't you? Brilliant.
I've got my take on school shoes as well. So I've got a couple of shoes that are like what would be old traditional school shoes, but like the staples in them or spikes in them. So I do my own take on that as well, because like being in Parliament's like being in school. It's got a dress code and all that. So when I was at school, I used to go to school with my Coca-Cola rave hat on and pink tails and everything, just and my Boy George type eyeliner. I mean, it's thinned out a bit as I've got older, but I was always wanted to be a bit different.
Yeah, I mean, subversive. And also, I love you going into Parliament with basically the most sort of conventional shoes, which is like the school shoe. Do you know what I mean? And then subverting those, that kind of classic piece.
Exactly.
Of
I'll put wild laces in them or something. Just get some really bizarre laces. I don't even get laces. Sometimes I just go to like a fabric shop and just get the little bit of ribbon and put them in. So it might be a wacky ribbon that I put instead of laces and just dress them up.
That's so good. And tell me, if you were Prime Minister, do you think you'd change your style?
No. Definitely not. No. No one's going to dress me or tell me how to dress.
No.
If I think obviously, you know, there is the serious point about, you know, if you're in a room and you won't go to a funeral dressed unless they said that that was the dress code. Yeah. You won't go to be disrespectful. So I'd never disrespect what I do, but I won't be told what to wear either. So if I choose what I feel comfortable in, and I'll wear what I think's right for me, and you know, I won't be told that that's not right or that is.
Yeah, like who's making the rules exactly? And tell me, Adja, does the climate crisis affect the way you dress? I mean, and the way you think about shopping now, and not the way you dress, I guess the way you shop. And another question to lead on from that is, I wish that the government was doing more. Oh, can I just say that?
Yeah.
I wish. I know how complicated. I don't know. I think I've got an idea of how complicated systems are, but I still find it really extraordinary, as does so many of the population, that nothing really is being done. But I feel like we need to touch on this, and I just would love to know your thoughts.
For too often, it's too expensive to do the right thing for people. So a lot of the clothes that are cheaper come from far away, which means that, you know, that's a problem for people. So that's another reason why I sort of, I take things that are secondhand, you know, because then I feel like I'm recycling and I'm also getting it cheaper as well. And it's a way of being able to do that. But a lot of the time, it's really difficult to shop ethically, especially on clothing and things like that, because things have to travel so far to get to here because they're not manufactured and made here. And if they are manufactured and made here, it's often very expensive for people to make that choice. So a lot of people get priced out of doing that. So the way I do it, because it's not necessarily me being priced out, it's just that I don't like to pay huge amounts of money for things as well, because I'm working class still in the brain. I'll go to a charity shop. And another thing, I have swaps with my mates. So me and my mates have swap parties where they'll come into my wardrobe and they'll take a load of my old stuff that I'm not, or things that I am wearing, but they want it. And it's like, I'm having it. And then I'll pick some out of their wardrobe and stuff like that. Or we'll try different. So if I've gone away and I get a duty free, I'll try a new perfume. If I don't like it, then I'll give it to my friend's daughter or something, or makeup. I'll try different eyeshadow and things like that. So and we just do swaps parties as well, like Tupperware, but like different fashion Tupperware.
I love a swap party. It's just such a great idea. But I mean, why isn't the government? Why can't they do more? I don't understand.
Well, they can do more. It's just a question of priorities, and it's not their priority. Right. And that's kind of frustrating. It's like the stuff with the energy stuff at the moment. The priority for the last 12 years has not been to look at renewables and look at moving away from oil and moving away from, gas. So because we haven't invested in being self-reliant and looking at renewable energy here in the way that we really should have, then we're now creating a crisis situation because of what's happening, obviously, in Europe. But actually, if we'd have done something when we needed to, when it wasn't as urgent, then we'd be in a better place. But it's a question of priorities. So it wasn't a priority then because it wasn't as urgent. Whereas now we're at the mercy of the market, which is now very unstable and things are happening. That means that actually, if we'd have done that at that time, because it was the right thing to do anyway for the climate, win-win, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in now as well, where we've got energy prices going through the roof. Because actually what we needed to do is invest in renewables and make it easier for households and people. You know, you want people to get electric cars, make it easy, in fact, make it cheaper for people to get an electric car. People don't choose not to get one because they're just thinking, I'll have a gas guzzler. If they could get one, that they could afford, then, you know, we could change the market. It's just that it's never been a priority, unfortunately, to do it. It's only when it becomes like a major urgency that they take action on it. Yeah. And that is a problem.
It's a real problem. It baffles me. It baffles me.
But that's why people making, you know, people who have raised issues around climate emergency, people that, you know, have been raising it, public opinion has changed politicians on it. Make no mistake. Politicians didn't just wake up one morning and thought, oh, I need to talk about the climate. It's public opinion and the public that have been like, no, we really need to do something about this, and the global movement around it that is making politicians act. So it does make a difference when people do sort of raise these issues. That's another way of changing it. But like I say, my little piece, I try not to, you know, I try not to overshop things that I don't need. And then I try to gift stuff to people and take gifts in return. And I go to charity shops a lot. And I think that's another way of doing it. Because when I was young, charity shops were for poor people. You know, it was considered like, oh, it's a stigma. Whereas now I'm like, charity shops are a way of saving the planet, basically. It's and amazing, doing right by it? Charities. It's a win-win.
It's amazing. And then tell me, what is your favourite style decade?
Oh, it's got to be the 50s, I reckon. The 50s. I love it. Those types of dresses. So, like, you know, the whole cut and the sophistication. And, yeah, I just love it. And the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
That I think is amazing. I love it.
Yeah, I'm a 70s, but yeah, I mean, yeah, but 50s is fantastic. And who is your ultimate style pinup? Like, who do you think just looks, could be dead or alive, just someone you think, I just love their style, like?
Audrey Hepburn. She had style. She was like a little pocket rocket, though, wasn't she? She doesn't have my tall, big bone structured body, but I think that sophistication, that way in which she just pulled it off as that this is me and this is how I'm going to look, I thought it was great.
Yeah, she was amazing, wasn't she? Just like, yeah, incredibly style. And any current style obsessions? Is there anything you're really looking for, like when you go into the charity shop, is there something you're looking for specifically or not so much? Is it more about like if you see something you love?
I mean, I'm obsessed with shoes. Everyone knows that. And it's because I was such a big... Because I was so tall. And because I'm tall, that means that my frame is bigger than... You know, my mates were a lot shorter than me. So they were like a size 10. So when I was a size 14, I felt like I was really big. Because in the shops, like size 14, 16, and then it's like, where's the rest of them? But because I'm like 5'10". So I was always big. So in shops, I didn't quite know whether I was a size 12, size 14, or sometimes even a 16, even though I was small. I wasn't because I'm tall. But shoes, I was this big size shoe. But that meant that I got the cheaper ones in the sale because no one was a size 8. So, and every size 8 fitted. I didn't have to worry about whether it was a small size 8 or a big size 8. I knew the shoe would fit. So that's where my obsession with shoes come from, because I knew that I could express myself and not be downhearted by thinking this is not going to fit me properly, it's not going to look right. I knew that a shoe would always, if it's a size 8, I'm happy.
I have that with handbags. I love a handbag. That's awesome.
My sister's like that, you know. And that was the thing, because me and my sister, we grew up poor, so we didn't have nice things. We literally had one pair of shoes that lasted us until we could get through school, sort of thing, and we got the grant for the next pair. We didn't have anything like that when we were kids. So my sister, she collects handbags. She's got tons of them. And I collect shoes. For the same reason.
You did grow up poor, didn't you? Your mum was really poor.
Yeah, we had nothing. I mean, we had the school grant for our clothes, uniform grant, and that was when we got something new. My nana's friend once came, I can't remember her name or anything, but she took us to Marks and Spencer's and got us a party dress, like one of those nice frilly dresses. And I remember thinking I can remember it to this day, how it felt to go to a shop and be able to pick a dress. And actually just buy a dress, a brand new dress.
Was it incredible?
I literally felt like the princess in Frozen. Like, I literally had this dress that I thought was like, my sister got the same. And we just felt like we were princesses. It was just the most amazing. Even now when I think about it, it just makes me smile.
Wow, how old were you when that happened?
I was at primary school, so probably about age 8, 10. My sister was a couple of years younger. But we got these dresses and they were brand new. We never had, the only brand new stuff we ever got was literally from our uniforms, a shirt or something. We got a skirt or a shirt for school and that was it. That was the brand new stuff. So getting this dress that was an actual party dress was just like, with frills and everything. It had like a little underskirt and I'd never had anything like, we used to wrap quilts around us and the blanket on them and pretend we were princesses. That's how we used to like, when we were growing up, we used to pretend we were princesses by wrapping our quilt around us and then putting our sheet over the quilt as if that's a big dress. We used to watch all the princesses in the Disney films. And we went out to the Marks and Spencer and got this brand new, like, princess dress. And I was just overjoyed with everything.
That's amazing. Wow. It just shows. I mean, yeah, just that kind of thing of something being such a huge treat. You know what I mean?
It was like, a massive treat, yeah. Huge.
So cool. Kind of the opposite of so many, yeah, probably you'd say a lot of children, but mine actually.
So even now when I've ordered something online or I order something new and it comes and it's in its packaging, I get so excited. I've got something new in the package.
That will always remain, won't it? You know, if you grew up not ever having that, then that will always
with tags
amazing.
And everything. It's got its own tags and it's all, it smells new. You can smell the newness of it. Yeah. It's great.
It's totally. It's just its own thing. And if you could raid one person's closet, who would it be? Whose closet would you raid? Can be anybody's.
Oh, God. Oh, well, you know, it's probably going to have to be Princess Catherine, isn't it? She's got really beautiful clothes. I don't think I'd fit in them, though. I'd have to have them, like, pushed out.
I mean, she's tiny, isn't she?
She is a bit tiny, yeah.
Yeah, she's really... Yeah, I bet she's got a really good wardrobe. And what's your favourite style in a movie?
Mad Max. Loads of leather, fake leather.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah, like, yeah, warriors. And yeah, exactly.
Warrior queens.
Yes, yeah, with your red hair. And tell me... Do you have a favourite movie as well? Like, what would be, like, a movie that you love? You say to people, like, you know, I love Ferris Bueller's Day Off, or, you know, do you have a movie that you're like, you just go back to in particular?
Well, I have two. I love Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah.
I think that is just such a lovely movie. And I like Forrest Gump.
Okay. It's just I've never a seen Forrest movie. Gump. I've got to see it. Everyone's seen Forrest Gump, yeah.
I love Forrest Gump.
It sounds great.
With peas and carrots.
Okay, I'll watch it. And what's your favourite book?
Favourite book? I love Ben Elton. So any of Ben Elton's books, I really enjoy him. So Stark from Ben Elton is really funny and his humour's quite dark and funny. And he does a lot about climate, and a lot of his books that he did over a decade ago was all about the climate crisis, but he's very funny in how he approaches it. So I love Ben Elton's books.
He's really clever, Ben Elton, isn't he?
He is.
Really clever.
But they're dead easy to read. You pick up a Ben Elton book and by the first 15, 20 pages, you're hooked and you want to read the rest of it. And he's really funny, his humour. But he mixes politics in with it, but not over the top, not in your face. So it's really good fun.
I'm gonna read that. Thanks, that's a really good tip.
But Stark's the funny one, and okay. I think I like it because it's his take on the planet's ended and all these big multinational people, rich people are going to get a rocket to a new planet and leave us all high and dry, and it's quite funny.
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah, sounds great. Okay, done. Can you give me your best charity shop tip, your best thrifting tip? You have given one. You have given one about going to like expensive neighbourhood, which is a really good one, and I second that. Do you have another one for like when you're in there, like a way of looking for stuff? Do you have another tip?
Yeah, just mooch into the crevices.
Yes.
Into the crevices.
Yeah.
Make sure you give yourself time.
Yeah.
And just have a good old rummage.
Don't be shy. Yeah, I know. I want to go thrifting with you, Angela. I think you'd be a really good thrifting partner. Okay, so these are your quick fire questions. In terms of style, Theresa May or Margaret Thatcher?
Oh, sorry. Gosh. I mean, probably Margaret Thatcher in terms of her style because she was more 1950s. But in terms of her attitudes as well, she was probably more 1950s when it comes to women. So style-wise, I'll just qualify that. Okay. It's definitely on her style, I would say, yeah, because I liked a lot of her clothes was kind of suits that I quite like.
The pussy bow was a good look. Yeah. It's always good, that pussy bow.
Very Chanel, isn't it? Very yes. Christian Dior.
Very. No, she did that. She really owned that pussy bow blouse. Okay, blow dry or makeover?
Blow dry every day.
Flats See? Or heels? I know, I love your blow dries.
And this blow dry lasts at least 4 days. People think I spend ages on my hair. That's I literally amazing. Wake up in the morning and just go.
You're joking, because it looks like you've had it just done. Not
no, this
one.
Is at least, this is 3 days old now.
Oh, that's not fair. Oh, look at mine. Mine's like yesterday.
Yeah. My other tip is don't wash your hair too often.
Yeah, I second that. I don't,
And people say, yeah, but it gets dead greasy. It's like it gets dead greasy because you wash your hair too often. What you need to do is go cold turkey. So next time you're on your holiday, right, and you don't have to worry for a week, don't wash your hair. Yes, it'll go dead greasy. But if you train your hair, you can train your hair to not have to wash it every day.
That's
you save the planet.
Yeah, exactly. Another great tip. Flats or heels?
Heels. I'm sorry. Flats, yeah, it's practical, but heels make your legs look.
Yeah. Leopard or floral?
Leopard. Every day of the week.
Every year.
I think I've got it on now, actually.
Have you? Velvet or lace?
Velvet. Love it. I love a good textural feel.
Me too. I'm a velvet. Thriller or romance?
Oh, that's hard. Probably, as I'm a cynical old granny, I'm probably more for the thrill now than the romance.
Oh, look, I can't believe that I asked this. Handbags or shoes? I have that down.
Shoes for me.
Shoes for you. Angela, I love that. Thank you so much. You've lived up to every little bit of my expectation. And it was just so lovely to meet you. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you, it's my pleasure.
Thank you, Angela. See you in Parliament.
Take care.
Bye. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. And please do subscribe and do leave me a review. And if you want to add anything or tell me anything, then I'm at Faye Garnett on Instagram. And I'd always love to hear from you. And thank you so much. And remember, keep on thrifting.